Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Mitch Jeter lines it up. He's ready. The orange bull is on Mitch Jeter's leg. Good snap. Good hold. Kick on its way. And the kick is good!
Yes!
Mitch Jeter, with 7 seconds left, gives the Irish a lead. 27-24. Notre Dame is on the precipice.
Irish Radio Network. Notre Dame is on the precipice.
Yeah, spit it through the wire.
They are going to the national championship finals after that field goal, 27-24, in a very exciting game between Notre Dame was down 10-0 to start the game, then came back, scored 17 unanswered, and then all hell broke loose then.
Who was it on Notre Dame that said they wanted Ohio State? Was it Jeremiah Love? One of the players said, we want Ohio State. Let me ask you this question. Do you think Notre Dame can or will beat either one of those teams?
I don't think anybody can beat Ohio State, first of all. If Ohio State happens to get upset, then Notre Dame wins it.
You think they beat Texas?
Mm-hmm.
Man, we are really down on Texas now.
I've always been down on Texas.
I like Texas.
No, I think Texas is fraudulent.
And that's fine. Like, it's just, yeah. I haven't heard anyone else have the take that Rob has. And I know you've, like, when we've talked about them throughout the year, you haven't been high on them. Mm-hmm. But it's weird because we get to this point and it's like, yeah, I just think Notre Dame's going to beat them. But Texas has been one of the best teams in the country. But I got to admit, like, there are times where you watch Quinn Ewers and you go, man, he's really effing good. And other times you're going, what is he doing? And it's in the same game that happens.
Ohio State and Notre Dame wouldn't struggle with Arizona State. They know how to put them away. They would know how to put them away. When I look at Texas's resume, I'm just not impressed, man. I mean, I'm just not.
See, I don't know.
The two losses to Georgia, I mean, even with the backup quarterback that finished out the game, I'm not impressed by it.
See, I guess I'm trying to go back to scheduling here. Like Ohio State didn't just dominate every team throughout the regular season.
That's
though.
Why I think they're better.
You think they've kind of figured it out?
Battle tested.
I mean, look, they beat Nebraska 21-17.
Who are we talking about?
No, this is Ohio State. Okay. They beat Penn State by 7. That was on the road. To me, that's a big win.
It's a huge win.
You know what? I kind of take it back. They did handle. They had two close losses. They kind of handled everybody outside of those two games I just mentioned.
Other than handle
they
Michigan.
Beat Indiana by 23. So, like, you might be right. Maybe the stink hadn't come off Ohio State because we're like, once they lost to Michigan, it's like, what the hell's going on with this? But it is. It's a rivalry game. The same thing with Texas. Like, if you start looking at what they've done this year, because there are people that had questions about them. It wasn't the SEC. They dominated a Michigan team that Ohio State lost to. But again, what people didn't realize is that Texas at the beginning of the season definitely had the best defense in college football. Michigan predicated on the run. They couldn't run on them.
Right.
And then Texas throughout the year, I mean, the hiccup to Georgia, the close game against Vandy, the close game against Arkansas, the close game against A&M, and the loss to Georgia. Both of them. So they had hiccups there.
I'm not saying they don't deserve to be here. I think they're one of the top 5 or 6 teams in the country. I just don't think they're number one. I think there's levels to the top 2 or 3 that's a little bit different. Alabama's top 10,
mm-hmm.
but they can't beat the top 2 or 3, in my opinion. To me, I think right now Ohio State is like, I thought Oregon had legitimate mojo. That's why I said the winner of that game wins the national championship. Because in order
to beat, their asses beat.
And Ohio State took that mojo.
Mm-hmm.
They took that mojo.
Mojo.
And I think that's why, I think Ohio, and when you talk about a team and you talk about a coach that's loved by his players and you force those talented young men to rally around their coach, that's different. You can beat a team.
Do you like
You ever been in a fight, you and your family fighting against somebody else?
Yeah.
That's a different fight.
It is.
You and your friends fighting somebody, that's my boy. But you and your family fighting somebody, that's a different fight. And I think right now you made this team family.
You think Ryan Day's a good coach?
I think he's a good coach.
Okay.
Is he an elite coach? I mean, possibly.
How do you become elite? By winning a championship?
He can't beat Michigan. Yeah. You know what I mean? Is James Franklin a good coach? Yes. He just can't beat the dogs.
Everybody wants to talk about it. Every time he faces a top five team, he only has one win against them, which, okay.
You can't go 12-2 with the teams that he's gone, winning double digits every year.
And be, like a, bad
and be a bad coach. Mm-hmm. You can't do it. Bad coaches get found out quickly.
But I would say this, Day has, and look, this is a credit to him as well, because it's part of coaching's recruiting. He does bring in the best talent you're going to get. It is Ohio State. They have more five-star recruits than anybody in the playoffs. It's a really effing talented team. You lost Marvin Harrison Jr., who was arguably the best receiver mm-hmm. in college, and replaced him with the best receiver in college. So this kid's just unbelievable, in Jeremiah Smith.
For the people who say, like, there's a lot of talk about Notre Dame didn't, you know, going to the other game. Didn't beat anybody during the year. They beat nobody. They said, but same thing about Penn State. The problem is, and that's true, because they didn't face many ranked opponents during the regular season. Mm, but you look, to beat Georgia by 13.
Mm-hmm.
They beat Indiana badly first game. Then they beat Georgia soundly. And now they beat Penn State. You know, so that's a good apparently there for real.
Mm. I guess the same thing too with this is it's football. Anything can happen. The ball bounces funny. Like I talked about the Ravens Steelers game when they spanked mm-hmm. them last time. The three fumbles, the Ravens recovered all of them. You miss one or two of those and the game changes vastly depending on momentum. Do you get a score out of it? Mm-hmm. Where was the turnover? You know, and I think there's a lot of big things that people don't look at. Like teams that take the ball in the second half, they get an opportunity to score before the half.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like getting a turnover and then getting the ball. Yeah. But, you know, so you're getting the ball twice there. And I think teams tend to, that's one of the reasons why they take it in the second half.
410-583-1057. That's the number. So who you have winning tomorrow, Ed? Texas or Ohio State?
I don't know. You know, it's funny. I believe OSU is going to win. But I feel like disloyal Texas could have been on them for so long. I'm going to go with Texas.
You know I'm going to Ohio State.
Yeah,
I'm torn, man, because like, it's hard for me. Texas
plus, I said tomorrow, tonight. Tonight.
Texas plus the points. I think Ohio State wins. My favorite play tonight is the under. I just think these are two good defenses, and people are overvaluing what we've seen these teams put up right. against defenses that aren't good. So I do think you get, I think you get your like, 27-20 game, 24-20 mm-hmm. type game. It's not going to like it's going to be a 13-10, but I do think you see them play it a little closer to the vest and big plays. We'll see if they happen. If they do, I think it happens on Ohio State side.
You can hear that game on 1300, the bet, at 7 o'clock. 410-583-1057. That's the number. Mike Preston joins us at 8:30, but on the other side, Ed Norris, we're giving out shovels.
Yeah. I am going to give it to the followers of Baba Vanga.
Baba Vanga! Sorry.
If you have a shovel, give us a call.
I can't believe this stuff.
Give us a text, 410-583-1057. Hit us up on Twitter, at BBMS, 1057 The Fan. Shovel's next.
The biggest idiots deserve the big, bad shovel of wisdom. Sponsored by Jerry's Toyota. And their exclusive benefits, including free service maintenance for 4 years or 50,000 miles. Visit Jerry's Toyota just north of the Beltway on Bel Air Road and online at jerrystoyota.com. 1057 The Fan.
Time to give out shovels. If you have a shovel, give us a call. Give us a text, 410-583-1057. Hit us up on Twitter, at BBMS, 1057 The Fan. Ed Norris. It's your shovel.
The true believers of Baba Vanga. I find a lot of these, like Nostradamus as well. Go ahead.
So, Rob, you know, I brought this up in the World of Stupid yesterday. Baba Vanga is someone that does, like, a Nostradamus, made mm-hmm. all these so-called predictions, which seem like BS. Sorry.
I mean, it's just, the people who believe these things, they take these things and interpret them so much. And I mean, in 1989, she said, horror, horror. The American brethren will fall after being attacked by the steel birds. The wolves will be howling in the bush and innocent blood will be gushing. Now, according to the true believers, the steel birds refer to the hijacked planes. And the American brethren are the twin towers because there's two of them, like his brethren.
Mm-hmm.
She used the words Bush. They say it interpreted as a reference to then President Bush, who would lead the wolves of American military might in a retaliatory war. That's a lot. That's a lot of stretching there, man. Because Steel Bird, she was alive in 89. So she was around when there were airplanes. You could have easily been attacked by Steel Birds bombing the crap out of the country. It could also mean that. American Brethren could be just described as the people. This is a lot, a real reach, I think, on these people's part.
Did they say what particular year?
I don't think so, but it was, no, not that I found.
She was a...
Can you argue that Pearl Harbor was a... Did that description?
No, she said it in 89, though.
No. Oh, she said in 89.
In 89,
okay,
yeah. Right. So it was much later. And then she with the Kursk. The Kursk, if you remember, was a Russian submarine. 118 sailors died in that disaster. I mean, this is a little close, but it's like she predicted like a year prior. She said the Kursk, excuse me, will be covered with water and the world will weep over it. She was referring to the city of Kursk at the time. But the one named after the city of Kursk did die. I mean, they did die. So there's, you know, that's a much easier one to kind of make a parallel. But you read these, I was like, man, it's a very creative stretch for a lot of these things. Although the scary one is she predicted like the beginning of the end times this year with the Third World War. She predicted a Third World War in 2010, which never happened.
Mm-hmm.
But now they're predicting a war in Europe that's going to be the beginning of the end times, and you see what's going on. So, but the world's always at war.
Jeremy God.
Yeah.
What's your shovel?
My shovel, it's for earlier this week. The man that was getting off of 97, the very first exit to Baltimore Annapolis Boulevard, he passed the exit, slides over into, what do you want to call that? The brake. I always called it the brake lane. The shoulder. I don't know why I've never.
Why is it called the brake lane?
That's what my dad's called it, so I like picked that up throughout the years. Because that's where people go and brake. Like, go off to the side of the road, you brake, and you need to get out, whatever. That's what it was called when I was a kid. So, whatever.
Dumb.
We've talked about this before. The person passed the exit he wanted to get off, and he put his car in reverse to drive back. Meanwhile, that's the exit that I get off at. And you know what I did? I got off before it ended. Like, where the road goes over. As soon as it opened up, I got in that lane and got... You don't know how bad I wanted to pull my car up behind his and just sit there for the next 2 hours. Just say, F you, guy. Drive up to the next exit and turn around. It's literally a minute away, and you'll be right back where you need to be.
My Uber did that when I went to pick up the rental car. Went past it and backed up. I'm like, oh, what are you doing? I missed the exit.
Yeah, that's a you problem. Go up and turn around. It's so stupid, and it's... People don't realize how unsafe it is. The dudes aren't even paying it. Backing up. You're backing up into an exit where people are driving forward, getting off of a highway, and you're going to just back into it? It's unbelievable, man.
My shovel goes to Cincinnati Bengals wide receiver Jermaine Burton. Allegedly involved in a domestic dispute on December the 30th, Burton allegedly broke into the home of a woman he was seeing hours after the two had been out drinking at 1 a.m., according to an emergency call made to Cincinnati police at 8 a.m. The woman, 19, told police that Burton choked her in the hallway of her apartment complex. She also said Burton broke into her residence, grabbed a knife from her dishwasher, held it to his own neck, and threatened to kill himself. She told police that Burton then broke her phone and left.
Don't move or I'll kill myself.
Yeah.
Were they downtown near at a bar near Fifth Street? Because I think he and Jack Daniels might have a history. I don't know.
It's like Cleavon Little and Blazing Saddles.
Yeah. Puts a knife to his own throat. Nobody move or I get it.
Right.
What?
Okay.
Where you going? Home. I don't want to see this. David in East Baltimore. Who's your shovel for, David?
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Happy New Year to y'all.
Same to you.
My shovel goes to my significant other. What happened, folks? About a month ago, we went down to the Costas Inn. Thank you, Jeremy.
Yeah.
We get down there, and because you see where it's at, it's like out of the way place. So I get, so how you know about this place? I heard it from the group, the morning show. So we eating dinner. She goes again. How do you hear about this place? This gentleman on the Good Morning Show, Jeremy, talked about this place all the time. All through the conversation, all through dinner. That's our caffeine. How you know about this place? How you know about this place? You sure you ain't bring somebody else down here?
Oh, I knew where she was going. I knew where she was going.
I know where she was going. I know what she was going for. So I'm like, no. It's my first time down here. Da 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 da. So thank God that the owner came up.
Oh, Pete, he's the best.
Oh, he's a real friendly man, real nice gentleman. Everything we was talking everything. So he goes, so how you know about the, how you found about my food? And you know, I went, now how do you know about that? That's what he said all about him out. I said, for the Big Time Morning Show. He said, oh, Jeremy Kahn and the rest of them. Yeah. You should have seen the look on her face. Priceless.
Well, at least she knew you were telling the truth.
Yeah, I would have said it was Mac's girlfriend.
Yeah. Yeah, when she said, you sure have brought anybody down here? Yeah, but I won't bring her again because she keeps asking me, how did I find out about this place? Let's go to Roderwood and get Frank. What's up, Frank?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Happy New Year. Also, my problem goes to people who do not clean their car off when it snows.
Amen, oh, man. Amen, Frank. Especially when they don't clean off the roof.
Oh.
And now all the snow is blowing in your windshield.
Mine cleans off when I get on 695. It just flies off the top. You guys don't do that too?
And no. What people don't understand, if there's ice under that,
oh yeah,
and it comes off, you could kill somebody.
When I was driving home yesterday, somebody lost the all that snow off the top, and it landed right on the car behind its hood.
Uh-huh.
And you could just, I could feel how pissed the guy was.
Well, first you can't see. You can have an accident. Yeah. It happened to Nisi here badly with a truck. It's like ice hit our windshield, broke.
Jeez.
Yeah. Let's go to Sam and Woodlawn. What's up, Sam?
Yeah, man, my bad, man. Hey, listen, man. I'm getting a shovel to myself today.
Ooh. What happened?
I got up. I was scheduled off. Got up, go to work and everything. Get there, punch in. Look at the schedule like, I'm not even supposed to be here.
Yeah, that's dumb, man. Who does that? Exactly. Nobody does that.
Exactly right. I got a 3-day weekend and my ass goes to work.
That's crazy, man. Nobody does that. 410-583-1057 is the number.
And you come
to
work,
take a break.
Somebody's sitting in your seat.
It's time to take a break.
I told you what that old empty suit, the old PD we used to have here. Hey, he had me come in a couple of times where he had somebody else come in. And it's like, so what do you want us to do?
But that wasn't your fault.
Why don't you split an hour? Yeah, nobody, that's what I want to do. I want to work 1 hour.
No, nobody was sitting in my seat. I was sitting here. He was coming down the hall.
Oh, was he?
Yeah. Ken Wyman's coming down the hall. Like, what's Ken Wyman doing here? He came in the studio. I said, why are you here? I'm working for you. No, you're not. Yes, I am. And Aaron opens his book, says, yeah, you took off today.
Did you leave then or did you stay?
I left.
You left out?
Left out. What I'm staying for, I'm supposed to be off.
I'm just curious.
I don't remember why I was off. Daily Line Never at 9 do. O'clock. Melissa Kim at 9:15.
Okay.
But on playoffs. The other side, Mike Preston, BaltimoreSun.com, joins us on The Fan.
Got to say, I'm a little disappointed in Joe. You used this one yesterday. You don't know enough Toto songs?
Joanna?
Rosanna. It's about Roseanne Arquette. So, like, one guy in the band wrote it about the other guy dating her, I think. It was just like a weird, creepy thing. Anyway, two tickets to see Toto, Christopher Cross.
Africa.
They're not. That song sucked too, man.
It's fantastic.
It's a dumbass song. People are like, they ain't never even been to Africa. How they know? Anyway,
watch it on TV.
Men, Joe, which one is it? It's Men at Work.
Men at Work.
So I got Men with Hats on here, which was wrong. So
they're wearing construction helmets. They're at work.
So they are wearing hats. See, so it's the same thing. Men at Work. Jiffy Lube Live, August 13th, courtesy of Live Nation, 410-583-1057. Giving away two sets, two purrs. Call it now, 4 and 5.
Joining us right now from Baltimore Sun, BaltimoreSun.com. He is Mike Preston. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning. How's everybody?
Doing well, man. Jeremy Kahn earlier, we talked about keys to victory for the Ravens. He said, don't do dumb stuff. And you know what? Too simple, but it is very simple. The Ravens are a better team. If they don't do anything stupid and overcomplicate this game, I think they win going away.
Well, I don't know about that. I think it's going to be close. When you play in a division and you play each other twice, you got all the vices down. And these two teams, they know each other extremely well. And Tomlin went out and emphasized that this week, and so did John Harbaugh. So it's more than about doing dumb stuff. For me, the key will be the Ravens' offensive line against their front five, because in all the Ravens' losses, they got beat up front. And even when they played Pittsburgh earlier, they lost out on that one. And the Steelers, the last time they played them, the Steelers weren't healthy. They were missing two or three starters. Remember, Joey Porter goes down in the second quarter. Watt got hurt the week before against the Eagles. first down is important. You got to gain yards on first down, and if that doesn't happen, that's when the dumb stuff happens. That's when they get in trouble. All right, so I understand what he's saying, but there's a little bit more to it, at least for me.
And some people have called in and said they wish they'd be more creative and not give Henry the ball on first down. I'm of the opinion you have literally six guys who weigh 300 pounds or more when Ricard's in there in front of Henry. I give him the ball as much as I can. How do you feel about this, you know, as far as the running game?
You know, I don't care when they give Henry the ball, actually. just give him the ball. You know, last year we go back to that Kansas City game, the AFC Championship game, where they got away from their running game. And this year, at least they have Henry where he's there and documents everything they do. Is we got to come back to him because he's the guy. And that's what I like about it. So I don't care if they give him the ball on first down or whatever. If you're going to come out and say, we're going to pound you, this is what we're going to do, then do it. All right, because that's what they're best at. They're best at running the football. And I have no problems with that. Do what you do best. It's the playoffs. It's cold. Receivers don't want to catch the ball. They don't like to catch the ball. Quarterbacks, man, they're tight. No, I like the whole emphasis on running the football.
You know Ricard weighs more than Lindebaum?
Ricard might weigh more than a lot of their offensive linemen. They might weigh more than McCary. I mean, that's a big joke.
Hey.
And, you know, sometimes that's what I like. It's, hey, last week when they played Cleveland, they just came out in the second half and said, we're putting the fullback in the backfield and we're running the football.
Yeah. Yep.
I don't have a problem with that.
I paused for a second because I thought Mike was like, that's what I like, big man.
I'm not going that far, bro. All right?
Hey, Mike, like I feel like I would agree with you wholeheartedly on what you said about this being that division rival game, all these things that are going on. I just feel like the Steelers are dead in the water right now. Like they couldn't move the ball against that horrible Cincinnati defense. And again, it's another divisional game. George Pickens, you got people over there giving him massages, trying to calm him down with his one catch for negative 1 yards. I mean, I feel like he's another one of those cancers in the clubhouse or locker room. Go ahead.
He is. But let's look at the flip side. Cincinnati was destroying people before that game. How many points they scored in that game? Not a lot.
19.
Okay. That defense was under control, again. And that's why, again, I go back to the front five. You know, you got Highsmith on one side, you got Watt on the other side. And people keep saying, why has Lamar struggled against the Steelers? That's why. All right? They got the two bookends because that's what they've always done in the past. And then they have guys in the middle, especially Cam Hayward, who can stay in with that lane integrity. That's the matchup, folks. They got to win that.
All right, Mike, give me a score and a winner.
The Ravens win anywhere from 3-7, but it's going to be a close game. I think the Steelers can hang with them for a little while. But, man, Westbrook, I mean, I just don't trust
Russell.
Russell Wilson.
You might be better off trusting Westbrook, man.
you might be right. But Russell Wilson, and they don't have a long ball. I don't see that happening. I don't see where they can win. But I do like the Pickens versus Brandon Stevens matchup on the outside. But I think the Ravens will double and try to take that away from the Steelers. So the Ravens win by 3-7.
There you go. Thanks a lot, Mike.
Enjoy the game, Mike.
All right, guys.
Hey, man.
See you guys.
All right, have a good one. 410-583-1057, that's the number. Let's go to Silver Spring, get Tony. What's up, Tony?
Good morning, fellas. Good morning.
Morning.
Man, what a game last night to start the football weekend.
Yeah.
Good night. You know something? I kind of feel for Franklin. You know what? But, man, you got to play lights out in both halves. Penn State had a great first half. But that interception and that one throw that Riley Leonard made to his receiver when the DB fell down at the line, I knew it was over. So Franklin coached well the first half, but his team, his QB, his CB, you know, a couple of things that they did, it's just – They beat themselves in that instant.
Can I? All right. So this the offensive or the pass interference that happened in the game that everybody, Joe, you were one that questioned it, right? You didn't think it was pass interference? Because I thought watching that without a shadow of a doubt, the guy that intercepted the ball didn't interfere.
No, it was the other guy. Did. Yeah, he jumped up.
He never turned for the ball and he hit the guy.
Before the ball got there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was absolute. I thought it was an easy call.
But I like when I saw it this morning, and look, Joe disagreed with it. Maybe you saw something different, but I saw controversial, and I'm like, what's controversial about it? Did the defender make contact with the receiver and not turn his head around?
He mugged him.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So, it ended up being a really good game. I hope we get the same thing tonight and then in the national championship, but maybe you're right. Maybe Ohio State's just going to roll everyone.
I saw something on social media, James Franklin, great man, terrific father, great husband, historically bad game day coach. What did he do yesterday to say he was bad at coaching in that game? I didn't see all the quote unquote big game air quotes
that he coached in.
But last night was not a badly coached game.
You remember the big play in the fourth quarter Notre Dame had? James Franklin put himself in at cornerback and he's the one that blew the coverage.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what happened.
Or the interception. You can't tell your quarterback to throw it to the wrong team, man. What kind of coach are you?
Is that what he did? He's like, all right, here's what we're going to do. Nobody's going to expect this. We're going to throw the ball to them. Watch what happens.
They won't be ready. They won't know what to do to win the game.
It is unfair, but you know that's how you're everything. People got home about this. Everything's results driven. Like, if you look at his numbers and say he's 1-13 against top five teams, people are going to go, see, I told you he's not a. What does that mean? They're top five teams. You're not supposed to beat them every year.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
What was he ranked when he played them?
Yeah.
Was he ranked top five too? Or was he ranked below them?
I'm saying you could probably take some of those and go, yeah, he did a bad job in this game. I didn't like it in this game. But overall, I get it. When I'm betting, I say the same thing. Like, James Franklin doesn't win big games, but I'm talking about the points. So I'll gladly take the little buffer you have there with a few points.
Melissa Kim joins at 9:15.
Okay.
Rick Ritter joins us at 9:30, but on the other side, over under Steelers Ravens up next on the Fan. 8:48 in the AM, Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show. Time for over under. Ed Norris, Lamar Jackson, 79.5 yards rushing, over or under?
Under. He'll have a decent day, like 50, 60 yards. I don't think he's going to have a. Hope he doesn't have a big rushing day. I'm going to keep that man healthy and fresh for next week.
I think he is healthy and fresh for next week with 80-plus yards rushing. Yeah. I think he breaks one tomorrow, and he has a special day on the ground. I think the Ravens have a special day on the ground. I think he goes over.
Yeah, I mean, if there's a chance of weather implications, I think the ground and pound way is probably the way to go. And if you have Derrick Henry back there and they start gearing in on him, I could see Lamar breaking a long one. And again, he said it too, like getting into the postseason, he's going to put a lot on his shoulder, which I do think he means he's going to run more. So I like the over there.
Jeremy Kahn, Derrick Henry, 17.5 yards, 17.5 carries, I should say.
I'm going, I got him over 17.5 yards. I have him over 17.5 carries as well. So if I get bonus points for that.
I think he does. I think he has at least 20 carries tomorrow. The only way he does not is if this game ends up being, unlike what I think, a blowout, and you take him out early to get ready for next week. And so I'm going over.
Yeah, I don't see him getting to that point, but I do see him going getting more than 17.5 carries because I think that by the third, fourth quarter, the game will be, it should be in hand, and I think he'd be on the ground, so he's going to get a lot of work.
Ravens D produces 1.5 turnovers. Over or under it?
The takeaways. Yes, they're going to get more than that. I think they'll have at least two. So I'm going to go yes.
I'm going over. I thought the two is the number that's in my mind as well.
So since Ed went yes, I'm going over as well. I didn't know. Is it yes or no answers that we put on here, Ed? I'm going over. Look, it's 1.5 turnovers. I don't trust Russell Wilson. The weather's bad. This is a team that's really.
I just had the most horrible fantasy looking at this pen.
Sell me that.
Did it disappear?
Yeah, in his neck.
Yeah. Ta-da! Let me show you a magic trick. All right, but yeah, I'm going over that. Look, getting two turnovers on a team that's, I think, in a little bit of disarray, I think it definitely happens.
Yeah. So, yes.
Over.
Still is 109.5 yards rushing, Jeremy.
No.
You know what sucks? I was going to say that.
I'm going under. If the Ravens, I guess with the two backs that they use so much, but again, I said this last time they played the Steelers, I feel like Jaylen Warren out of the backfield catching the ball. Najee Harris runs rough, but this is a tough team to run on, man. So I'm going under.
I'm going under as well. As you said, tough team to run on. I just don't see it. Not tomorrow.
Yeah, I don't either. I'm going under.
What if they put Pierce at cornerback, though?
I think Harris gets caught in Pierce and gets stuck there. Yeah. I think Pierce has a good day tomorrow.
Yeah. What was the yards rushing for the Steelers last game, Jay?
117.
Okay. So it was over this.
You don't know, Joe.
Pickens, 69.5 yards rush receiving, Ed.
I think it's more than that. I think they're going to have to throw a lot, especially late in the game. So they're going to be going to see a lot of Russell Wilson and Pickens in this game.
I'm thinking about 80 plus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Look, even with
so over.
As I said, he's a good receiver. He's not good enough to act the way that he does.
There's not.
There's talent there. Him and those big white chicklets that you can see smiling on TV when he does make something happen. Uh-huh. But he is a big play guy, so he could do this on one play. Do I think that happens? No, but I think he gets his targets and he gets over the number we have.
Okay, Russell Wilson, 239.5 yards passing, Jeremy.
I went under. I think the number's fine. But what if we see more Justin Fields? What if things aren't working out for Russell Wilson? He gets pulled. So I'm going under here.
I'm going under as well. I never thought about that part. You said if he gets pulled, but I just don't think. I think they'll have to throw the football a lot, but I don't think he's going to be very successful at it to the tune of 240 yards passing. And
I'm going to go over. I don't think it's more. Much, he's not going to have a 350 day. I think it's about 250 yards though. Because I think he's going to have to throw the ball a lot, unless the conditions are horrific. You know, he's going to be throwing that ball a lot. Yeah. So I'm going over.
Steelers D produces 1.5 takeaways. Ed.
I say no. I say under because if the Ravens turn the ball over a lot, they're in deep trouble, and I don't see that happening. You got a running back that doesn't really fumble. I don't see it. Lamar's, look at what he's done this year. If you just look at the track record this year, those four picks in the course of a full season. No, I don't see that. He went under.
Do they have two or three turnovers against the Steelers this year, and they've all been what I would deem to be goofy? The Zay Flowers.
Well, that strip thing, that was crazy.
Derrick Henry fumbles for the first time in forever. Mm-hmm. And was there another, like, strip sack or something? Something else had happened, I think, but I could be wrong. Could just be two. I got to go under the number here just because of all those things, but it is weird in Steelers games, even going back to the last one, three fumbles, but you recover all of them.
Yeah.
The ball can bounce a funny way and change things, but I'm still going to go under the 1.5.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I just looked it up, Ed, for that number, 239.5.
Mm-hmm.
Russell Wilson became the starting quarterback on October the 20th. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 games. How many times do you think he went over 240?
In 11 games?
Yeah.
Well, since you raised it, I'll say none, but I'm going to say twice.
He did it four times.
Four times?
I was going to guess four times.
But what he didn't, it was 148, 205, 128, 158. Yeah, 158, but 195, 205.
Where's the 400-yarder in there? Didn't he have a 400-yard
against
the Browns?
400-yard against the Bengals.
Bengals.
Yeah, he had a 400-yard, but what he didn't, he went way under. I never saw a quarterback that wasn't running the ball a lot have so many sub 200 games. One, two, three, four. He had four sub 200. He has as many sub 200 games as he did over 240.
Please tell me his dumb ass isn't going to be pretending to have a fake huddle and getting the guys lined up at the line of scrimmage when nobody's out there by himself and going through his motions. Like,
please tell me he will.
It's one of the corniest things that I've seen. Like, there's one thing to getting into the right mindset and being prepared. I don't know when you walk through your plays, let's say before a game or something, you're going to walk through the stuff that you're going to do in the game. Not that it happens that often in basketball, but it does. He's doing it by himself.
Jeremy, you mean to tell me you never got on the sideline with your clipboard, which is dry erase marker, and you pointed guys, I want you to go here? Yeah. No, Rick, that's wrong, it's wrong. Oh, you here.
No, I did that by myself. I'm like, this is what I want.
Jeremy, did you watch the most recent episode of Hard Knocks?
I got to see half of it. I saw the last half.
But you watched the part, like the Ravens, did you watch the Steelers part of it against the Bengals? Yeah. He's like on the sideline. He's like, all right, get ready to lead them boys today. You're going to lead them today. And I was like, who is he talking to? And
my God.
He's talking to his effing self.
To the camera.
Dude, he's such a loser.
Is this a put on? Does he do this on purpose or is this like really who he is?
Both. Yeah, but something I did stupid, Ed. I mean, this was – so I was drawing on the board, and I said, for instance, Deja, I want you here. I drew the X because we were on defense. Then I erased it, said, no, I don't want Deja there. I want Kiki there. So when I was done, Kiki pulled me aside like, is the X bigger for me than it is Deja? I said, why? She said, X is the X, coach. You erased the X and put another X. I said, I appreciate you not saying that at home. She said,
I throw this out to the crowd here. The only person, I think Rob may be the one who has a similar. When you were a kid, all of you, playing two-hand touch in the street.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you did. Sewer to Sewer was a touchdown. But when you mapped out the plays, we used to use a rock on the asphalt.
Really?
Yes.
And, we use somebody's back. Did we would use a guy's back.
Stand or just do it with your finger?
Or he would do it on his chest. Like, here, I want you to run this out route. Right, they even did that in flag football at times, too, when you were on
the would take a rock and just actually scrape it into on the asphalt because it would show up white.
Now, the thing about doing it on the back, the guy whose back you're using doesn't see the play.
Yeah, but he ain't getting the ball. I am.
Did you shave it?
No, we had a bigger guy that came and beat him up.
Melissa Kim. I can tell Eddie Martello stories all day, man.
Melissa Kim joins us at 9:15.
Okay.
Rick Ritter at 9:30. But on the other side is Jeremy Collin in the Daily Line.
Yeah, so last night, 2 and 3 in my top plays, as I talked about the Penn State game. To me, that's a 50-50 game. 50-50. Anything can happen down the stretch. Could have went over, could have went under. Penn State could have won and covered. Notre Dame could have won and covered. Get a turnover at the end of the game that
you ain't getting the ball out.
Helps Notre Dame, yeah. So we'll get into that game a little bit. What I saw there, what I like tonight. Last night also, the Rutgers just stunk up the joint. It was so frustrating. But we'll get into all that coming up next. NBA.
What happened to them?
College hoops. I don't know. NHL and, of course, the playoff game tonight between OSU and Texas. I'll give you my play for that coming up next.